So give me fuel, give me fire, give me that with genocide. Brutal, dude. Oh,
that's my favorite part of fuel. Yes, come on now.
I sounded just like Hetfield. I know
you did. Yeah, you did exactly.
If my eyes were closed, I would have definitely thought you were Hetfield.
I thought we had Hetfield and Kalindo Parker.
Here yeah.
Pizza, what is happening?
I'm playing air guitar. It's an air guitar thing. I'm really great. I'm an excellent air guitarist, let me tell you.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
And before we even get started, you know, we want to tell everybody, make sure you guys are following Kalindo. Make sure you guys are subscribing to all of his social media and YouTube, because you have a new video out.
Yes, I do. I do. We shot the video Sugar out in the countryside of England. And it was a beautiful shoot. It took a lot of work. You know, the song is only about 3 minutes long, but I think we were there for about 2 weeks just shooting every day, all morning, all night. And I'm glad it's finally done, and it's out there for y'all to enjoy.
Now, how did that come about, shooting it in England? Was that your idea? Was it a concept that was brought to you by somebody?
It was actually brought to me by somebody, Lotus, who is an incredible fashion designer. And she's based in London, and she's there with Mark Maxwell, who's a great video guy. He's good at doing CGI and just really very excellent, incredible. The video looks like it costs millions and millions of dollars, but we actually didn't spend quite that much. But you know, it wasn't cheap, you know. And so I do highly recommend everybody goes to see it. Now I do have my violinist out there. I flew her out. I got my drummer Diarcus, who's also Janelle Monae's drummer, and Natalia on bass. Natalia has been my bass player for a long time and a really great friend, but now she's a pilot. So she's literally flying airplanes.
Wow, that's, yeah. That, right? That's quite the career change too.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to fly through music, but you know, she likes to fly through the air a little bit more, I guess. So, you know.
You think she's gonna get like a custom like board for the plane so it looks like a bass?
She probably would. Knowing her, she probably would. She's amazing. She's a great person and a great rocker. She loves rock and roll, which is something that I always appreciate.
I thought for a second, you were gonna say you guys are going like the Iron Maiden route. Flying you around to your shows.
That would be so hot. You know what? You never know. When the budget is there, why don't we do that? Why not?
We need the Kalindo jet.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's, you know, I never thought about the Kalindo jet. I guess you know what? Let's do that. I've got to expand on that ego of mine and just make it a little bit bigger.
It is in England. You shot a video in England, so you feel like you have to have a jet at that point.
Yeah. You know, it's more convenient to fly private. I did it twice, and I enjoyed the first time because the first time it was an actual jet. The second time was a prop, and the weather was great, but it was extremely turbulent. So, yeah, I'll stick with the jets.
Did you do like fun shit in England? Like, I feel like everybody has like a checklist of like foreign country, like when they go to a foreign country that I want to see this, this, and this, and this. Like, you know, everybody probably wants to go to Abbey Road. That's not my cup of tea. I want to go see where like the seedy English pubs, or like where like the Sherlock Holmes, like the dirty England.
That's
England I want to see.
I didn't get dirty at all. I really wish I could have done that. I also did not do Abbey Road. It was on my mind, but we were just so busy. I think we had the only off day we had was the first day we got there. So we went to the local pub near my Airbnb. But I will say the one great thing is I did have an interview with Guitar World magazine, and as soon as I met with the interviewer at my Airbnb, he said, "Dude, you know you're staying across the street from the Rainbow Room, right?" And I'm like, "What?
Oh shit."
He said, "Yeah, where Jimi Hendrix burned his guitar." I said, "You tell me that bank right there is the Rainbow Room?" He said, "Yeah, they turned the famous Rainbow Room where I saw Queen on video. We know about Jimi Hendrix burning his guitar. The Rainbow was literally right across the street from my apartment."
That's insane. That's so fucking cool.
It's amazing. I almost cried on the spot. I just could not believe that everything was...
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a bank. I mean, it's definitely a bank, but it's literally the bank on the marquee of the Rainbow Room. You know what I mean?
So. Did you go in? I would have gone in and burnt something just in effort.
I should have.
Get an incense burner, but like make it a guitar shaped incense. Here and then do the whole dance thing.
Oh.
And the bankers are like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And then, oi, what's this guy doing? And you just go running out.
I love it.
I wonder if other people have tried that, if there's like a bouncer at the door. You're coming in there like, hey, are you a member here? Because if you're a musician, you're not stepping inside. We're not having another person light something on fire.
they put like no Americans burning things on like a big metal sign on the way in. Because I
oh my god,
something like that, I would be like, yo guys, sorry this is happening, but this is definitely happening.
And yes, Pyromania is my favorite Def Leppard album, but you know, nah.
Nice.
Take it easy.
Well, now I'm just wondering, like, what? How did the Rainbow Room go from being that to a bank? Like, I'm just the fate of the
capitalism, Peter.
Yeah, there's that. Okay, you got me.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
CBGB's is now a fucking high end clothing store. It's sick.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Sick. Makes me itch. Disgusting. I was so mad when I went there the first time. Because I'm like 20 years behind everything going to see stuff. Because I didn't start traveling until way after I got out of school. Yeah. I didn't realize how great traveling was. And yeah, that sounds like a cop-out, but whatever. It's my fucking life. So I went to a burger joint where Frank Sinatra and Richie Valens ate in the booth that I was in, which was so fucking rad. I don't know if it's true or not. It's just cool to be there. And down the road was CBGB's. And I'm like, I said to my cousin, I was like, we got to stop at CBGB's. We have to. I couldn't be a Ramones fan if I was here this close and didn't go just to see it.
It's true. That definitely, everything you're saying is true. Frank Sinatra did eat at a coffee shop. All that stuff is true.
And he was like, and we went and he's like, there's CBGB's. And I was like, that's just the outside sign. He goes, yeah, that's all that's left. Now it's a high end clothing store. They probably even let us in the building because you have a fucking t-shirt that says, cows don't get mad, they get even. Which is legitimately the shirt that I had on, and I'm still very proud of that shirt.
But, man.
I was just like, what the fuck?
Wow.
Sad.
Yeah, it's so sad. I had the privilege of playing there a few times back in my youth.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Like, that's one of those regret things that, like, if you don't do it, like, you do regret it. Even though you have no control over not doing it. Like,
yeah.
And I've never been to the original Yankee Stadium, and I'm a huge baseball
fan. Oh! I mean, yeah, but you live in New York then?
No, we're in Philly.
Okay, that's not too bad. I mean, at least you're not. If you're in New York, I'd be like, ow, ouch.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's not, and that's the thing, is like, I wasn't that so into baseball when I was a kid.
All right.
When I got older, did I realize how great that place would have been? Right. And then I went to the new one, and I'm like, this is shit.
Yeah.
This is shit. This is like asking for a Transformer and getting a GoBot.
Oh! Dude, I agree. I've been to many, many Yankee games in the old stadium, and it really felt like there were ghosts in the stadium. It looked like there were ghosts on the field, you know. I don't know what it was. Just there was so much energy. It was very emotional. I've been to incredible games out there. The first game I went to in the new stadium was the Yankees against Cleveland, and they lost something like 21-5 or 21-3. It was the worst. It was the most embarrassing. I thought they were going to be doomed, but then they won the World Series that year. So
yeah, right.
What do I know? But yeah, CBGB's was amazing to play. The last time I played there, I got word from a friend of mine that David Bowie was coming to our show with Iman, and that's when I was in a band called Parker, which was my first band. And we were amazed to meet David Bowie in our backstage. You know,
you got
and
to meet Bowie.
Yeah, man. Right?
Fucking so That's cool.
Wild.
He was such a nice guy. Super cool. Super down to earth. No bodyguards. Just him and his wife. And he was wearing his winter coat. And he's a little shorter than I was. So I was looking up to try to find him because I knew he was there. But I was looking up and I said, you know what? Let me just look down or look around. And I'll be so focused on up. And there he was right next to me, just like this. And so I said, oh my God. I said, you're my idol. And then he said, you must be Parker. That's the name of my band, Parker. Yeah. the rest is history. We're, you know, not best buddies, but I did ask him for a card, and he laughed. He was like, "I don't have cards." Like, why would he have a card?
Yeah, nah, dude, that's cool. I invited Meatloaf to a fantasy football league once.
Yes.
So, like, I do that. I'm like, yeah, I do that shit all the time. I remember that one of the lady managers, or the lady, the captains on Star Trek. I don't remember which one I did because I didn't really watch Star Trek that much. But we went to go see her. My friend was all excited to meet her. And I had a Phillies shirt on. And I told her I was writing a book about the Phillies. And she was like totally stoked about the book because her son in LA became a Phillies fan because of Jimmy Rollins and all that. All she wanted to do for like almost 40 minutes straight was talk about this book and the Phillies and how much her son was into the Phillies. My friend was so pissed because he had like a soliloquy that he had, like he wanted to read to her and he didn't even get to read it. I'm like, really sorry I stole your thunder, dude, but like I can't help that people love the Phillies. It's not my fault.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good team. You guys had a great run for quite some time.
Rollins, baby. Yeah. We're trying to get Jimmy Rollins on the show. Sports guys are so tough to get on here.
Yeah. Why is that?
Like 90 fucking agents and managers and
handlers
and stuff. It's like, yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's got to be easier to win the WWF championship at WrestleMania.
Than seriously.
To get a guy to come on from sports.
Man,
we emailed OJ too, but I didn't expect
it. he was my dad's. He was one of my dad's favorite running backs way back in the day.
Wait, was your dad a Bills fan or?
Yeah, he was. My dad was a Bills fan, and he was really all New York all the way. He was such a New York guy, and he's the reason why I'm a huge all New York fan. I love the Mets, the Yankees, the Giants, the Jets, the Knicks, the Bills.
Man, that's a tough one.
I'm from Buffalo, and so it's great to hear that. And having that the OJ controversy is like, I mean, I watched him as a kid, and now it's just like, oh no, like it's so difficult.
It's a lesson. It's a life lesson for certain people.
What OJ controversy?
Oh, wow,
he didn't kill anybody. Remember, he got acquitted.
No, the one where he beat up all those people for stealing his merch. That controversy.
I mean, that's fine. Honestly, I just wanted him on so I could talk to him about the Naked Gun. I love those movies.
I do too.
I was never a sports guy. So like that's actually how I know OJ.
I really like the Hertz commercials.
Okay.
That was always my favorite OJ Simpson. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, the Hertz. Yeah.
You know, we're talking about traveling and being on the road. What do you have anything coming up? Did you do any shows while you're out there shooting the video? Or are you doing some stuff now?
Good question. I actually did do a show shooting the video at Tom Dixon's headquarters. Tom Dixon is he owns a kind of like a furniture store, a very boutique furniture appliance store out in throughout the world, but mostly in the UK. And so we did a beautiful, the show was just, it was private, but it was just gorgeous surrounding, amazing decor. Yeah.
That sounds like such a UK place to do a show too. Like, you have to go to this furniture store, and it's like,
yeah,
that's where the show is. And it's like, yeah, trust me, it's awesome. And it's like,
sure, that's amazing. Open bar, kitchen,
but great seating.
Excellent seating, couches, you know. But really, right now, I'm just getting ready for the U.S. tour with Janelle Monae.
That's awesome. And you mentioned that you share a drummer with her, correct?
I do, Diarcus Curry. She is amazing.
Is she doing double duty, or are you going to have somebody different fill in on the tour?
She's going to be playing with Janelle, and then I'm not touring, so I make sure not to tour as the Kalindo tour while Janelle's touring, because I do put her first, you know. Nice. Yeah, but you know, when she's off tour, then that's when I'll do a little something. So I'll let you all know.
Yeah, come to Philly, man.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. I'm not even sure if we're going to Philly, but I will certainly go to Philly for sure and do a show. I love Philly.
We get that a lot. A lot of people like being here, and it's surprising to me because it's like there's stigmas about the city that make you not want to be here.
What? It's
like the people.
What? Oh. No, I mean, yeah. You guys, my critique is that you guys need to get a football team. Like, what's going on? I mean, where's the football in Philly? What's going on with Philly football? I'm kidding.
I know it's we need to draft a quarterback. You know, our guy.
Yeah.
You know, they need to sign a running back. There's just all these positions.
You guys. you guys are better than, I hate to say this on the air, but so far you're better than all of the New York teams put together. Not the Bills, but the Giants and the Jets put them together. The Eagles are still better.
That's just because I've always felt like this too. I just feel like the Giants and the Jets can't come to terms with their identity.
Mm-hmm. Like
one of them needs to be New Jersey and one of them needs to be New York. You can't be in New Jersey and both be New York's team. It just is not going to work.
You're so right.
And it's like the history of both teams, that's where it becomes complicated because the Jets are so, their old stuff is so cool.
Yeah.
And the Giants have such a rich history too. It's like, you know, because we're Eagles. So the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Redskins are you know, they're enemies. But it's like,
right.
I'm a sports fan. So yeah. I appreciate the history behind the teams and stuff. And it's like, but you look at it and it's like, who do you pick? Like, right. Do you pick Lawrence Taylor or do you pick Joe Namath? Like, those are your, you know what I mean? Like, do you get behind Eli Manning, who was also one of the people that beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl? What's that other guy that did that? Oh yeah. Nick Foles.
But, yeah, wow, that's right.
But do you support him or do you support like guys like Klecko that are just such good dudes that you want to be behind them as good dudes? It's like, it's gotta be a tough thing. Like, you know, I gave up on the Sixers years ago because they're just trash.
Oh.
But like, that's rough in itself. Like, I even find myself like, I'm a Warriors fan and like, everyone's like, oh, you're a front runner. I'm like, they were actually the original team in Philadelphia. So actually more of a Philly fan than you guys are that like the Sixers because the Sixers were in Washington.
I didn't even know that. The Warriors were in Philly.
Yeah, they were when they had Wilt Chamberlain, they were the Philly Warriors.
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
Then they moved to they didn't go right to Oakland. They went somewhere first. I don't remember where they went first. I want to say it was like Milwaukee. But I don't think that's right. That might be somewhere
else.
They moved somewhere first and then they moved to Oakland and then it was like, that's the other thing too. So the Athletics were originally from Philly as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved to Milwaukee. Yeah, I think it was Milwaukee. And then they went to, or no, that was the Braves. The Braves were in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee Braves, yeah, that makes sense.
The Athletics moved somewhere else. I think the Athletics were actually in Kansas City for a while. And then they moved to Oakland. So, like, Oakland has two original Philly teams.
Wow.
And that's what I said. I was like, but it's even tough for me to dissociate even that. It's like I have to find a Philly justification for why I like a team. It's like, so I can understand like the conundrum of New York. Like you have two teams in damn near every sport and some of them you have three, you know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
it's tough to like put that aside and be like, damn dude, like, where do I get, who do I have allegiance to?
Right.
But I think that's the Jets and the Giants problem is like, they can't just make it their team. Like, I think that they should go back to being like the Brooklyn Giants, something like that. Like when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn instead of the New York Dodgers, like Brooklyn Dodgers. Because if New York's big enough to like, you know what I mean, to separate.
Right.
So, I mean, every borough has its own culture anyway. It's already.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm serious. You guys are, let's come on. Let's put something together and send some letters.
We're going to take the Kalindo Jet and we're going to buy the Jets and make them the Brooklyn Jets.
Yes. Because the Jets, one thing about the Jets, the personality that they have established, at least in the past, is that they're very offensive, as the AFC has been up, you know, in the past, up until now, it's kind of like anything goes. Right. But getting the quarterback they just got, I think on paper, is going in the right direction, offensively speaking.
I think that if they keep him around for more than 1 year, I think it's going to change that whole dynamic. But that's the other thing too. They have to draft around him. Like, you can't draft a Keyshawn Johnson because he's a power wide receiver. You need a guy that's like speed. And Keyshawn was a hitter almost as much as he was a runner. So you have him, and then you need another. You guys had some really cool bruising backs. Like, I used to love Curtis Martin. Curtis Martin was like,
me too,
guys.
Right.
And you just have that, like. And even LaDainian played there too. Tomlinson was a Jet for a while, wasn't he?
I don't remember that.
I think he was also a Jet at one point.
Yeah, it's possible.
But you need a bruising runner to complement the fast wide receiver. And it's like, mm-hmm. you do that, because that's what Rodgers has always had.
Mm-hmm, he had right.
one burner receiver, and then he had the three bangers. And then it's like, but if hopefully, I would love to see the Jets do good, because I feel bad. I feel like the Jets are like perennial lower tier, and it's like, I hate that the Giants get more recognition, and they're really not that much better. Like, they have like one more win a year, and it's yeah. like the Jets suck, and I'm like,
yeah,
the Giants suck, dude. Who are you on?
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
What I've gleaned from the conversation is that we need to have just like a borough baseball league and a borough football league. Like, every borough gets their own team, and they compete to who can actually play in the NFL. That's what we need.
That's not a bad idea. The winner of the league gets the NFL slot for the year.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that too. Why not? Huh?
Man, we're fucking progressive sports management guys.
Yeah, we are. Come on.
That's where this conversation is going to go. When we start.
Yeah, man.
But we need a Kalindo here.
Yeah, right.
Seriously. Right. That's what I do. You know, I had the, as I'm here working on music and stuff, I got the TV on mute. I had the Sixers playoff game, and you know, they look like, I thought they were going to lose when the series first started. I didn't think they were going to win. But then when I actually saw them winning and like just doing amazingly, scoring all kinds of offensive points, I decided they're going to win the series unless they lose game six. If it was game six, forget about it. And to my chagrin, I was surprised that they lost game six. And I was just like, oh, well, there goes that.
Yeah. Game seven was a dumpster fire.
Oh, and as you know, you knew it would be, because game six is really their game seven.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. You're right.
The Lakers, same thing. Lakers, when they were playing against, they're playing against Denver now, but when I saw Denver on their previous series, I was just like, oh, no, yeah. Whoever's playing Denver is going to lose. No chance.
Yep.
They're smothering Phoenix. Phoenix looked like, on paper before the series started, I thought Phoenix would win that series.
Yeah, they looked great. And then they had Durant. Like, Durant's nasty still. And it's like, I'll tell you what, I was very, I understand that the Warriors are probably burnt out from all the fucking winning that they've done in the past 11 years.
Right.
But I really thought that they were going to beat LeBron. And just the fact that Jokic is just like dominating him, it just, I hate to say, but it makes me so happy. Like, I'm like, thank God somebody's taking him out of this, like, out of his own head, finally.
You're not alone.
Steph's in there. Steph inhabits his head, and everyone knows he does. But like, Steph can't do it all by himself sometimes. Like, sometimes he needs a rest.
So that's the problem.
Yeah. Sometimes you got other guys. It's like Jokic is now in LeBron, and LeBron is going to, I guarantee you that LeBron now focuses on Denver as like trying to take them out every year. Like,
mm-hmm. even
if he wins, he's just going to try and take them out until he retires. Because supposedly he wants to play in a game with his son. And I'm like, if we have to sit through LeBron for that many more years, I'm going to throw up. I already can't take him.
Oh my God.
I love him as a guy, right? I think as a person, he's a good dude overall.
Yeah,
he does lots of cool philanthropic stuff. He's a very conscious person. I don't think he's the not intelligent person either. Like, sometimes people feign intelligence because they're rich or they're celebrity. I don't think he's like that. I think he's a genuine dude. Mm-hmm. I just think in basketball, I'm tired of seeing him. And I just want it to be over. Like, you've done enough, dude. You did great. You're a great player. You're in the top five of all time. Anybody's list of top five has him in the top five. But, dude, just go away. It's the same with Brady. It's like, I know Brady was a once in a generation guy.
Yeah.
Great. It was great watching him sometimes, but like, I don't want to see him anymore. I'm over him completely. Like, just go away. Joe Montana went away and disappeared after he was in Kansas City.
And you still only
see him sporadically now. And it's you appreciate him so much more because you don't see him.
Right.
He's doing FanDuel. He's doing like FanDuel commercials now.
He does, FanDuel Guinness, and he does Notre Dame stuff for the beginning of the games. That's the only time I ever see him. Hmm. I love Joe Montana. I think that's genius. Like, he's like, I my time in the spotlight, like, step away. And that's to bring it back to music. I feel like the same thing, like a lot of musicians, I feel like, you know, like one of the bands right now that I love that I feel like overexposes themselves sometimes is Metallica. Like, I love Metallica. I absolutely do. And I think that they're great, but like, sometimes I'm just like, all right, I get it. They're the best metal band ever. They're multiple award winning. Like, they're great. Like, okay, I'll go see you live. Just I don't need to be bombarded. Like, I don't need you to do a residency in Jimmy Fallon. Even though that was cool.
They did a residency?
Not Jimmy Fallon. Who was the residency at that they did? Was it
Fallon? Oh, Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel.
It was Jimmy Kimmel, right.
Because okay. I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, it's like okay, I get it. But like, I'm okay. You're Metallica. I get it. I love you. I do. I always will. But like, move on. Let's move forward. Let's progress. Yeah.
That's not very metal.
It's the nature, I think, of what streaming is now, though.
Yeah.
Where people just don't have the attention span anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
So you have to constantly bombard people with things. And that's actually, I'm so glad that Jimmy brought this back, because not being a sports guy, I had no way to bring this back to music. I was just going to have to like dive bomb like some insane question in the middle of it and try to make it work in the editing.
I was honestly going to be like, something. I was also going to be like, wait, is Janelle doing a stadium tour? And I was just like,
well, actually, not that I know, but we are playing Radio City Music Hall in New York.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Not sure if that's announced yet. So, you know, we're playing next to SoFi Stadium here in LA. A place called the YouTube Theater.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nice.
That brings up, you know, what Jimmy was saying and working in streaming and things like that. You know, what are your kind of thoughts on that? Everything obviously is moving towards streaming. Are you still a physical media guy for yourself personally, or how do you prefer people enjoy your music? Do you want people to go out and buy the physical product, or are you cool with the streaming setup the way it is?
I mean, I'm not cool with it because it's I'm giving away music for free that normally I would charge just like anybody else, you know, $10, $15, maybe $20 per CD, depending on how much material is on the music. So the fact that I'm putting thousands and thousands of dollars into recordings and then just, you know, regurgitating the music out for free to everybody is a little troublesome. Being that I did pick music over baseball, in part because of the money, I'm not going to lie. But the other reason was because, you know, at the time when I was a kid, you know, big time baseball players were making what my dad made as a teacher, which is good. But now, you know, the musicians are making millions of dollars. Now it's the other way around. But from a non-selfish perspective, just from a spiritual perspective, music is where my heart really is. So, you know, I can't really dedicate an at bat to like my grandmother per se. I mean, I guess I could, but if I strike out, then like, what's that?
You can.
Yeah.
It's just a lot more touch and go than right now.
Exactly. So songwriting, like, you know, what I do is I enjoy it. I don't have to go back and be like, oh no, I shouldn't have, I played so horribly. You know, yeah, some shows aren't great, but for the most part, I show up and I give my all, and I give people a great show. If I make a couple of errors in the show, it might not be very noticeable. Whereas if I were on, you know, in the field and I literally dropped a fly ball with runners on base, you know. So I love my decision, don't get me wrong. That being said, yeah, I remember, you know, just when records were a thing, and I loved opening up the record and having that physicality of the record and the artwork in front of me. It was such an exciting experience. Whereas, you know, downloading, as a fan, downloading is not that much fun. So I do prefer to sell my own stuff. That being said, yes, follow me on Spotify. I'm there. It's free. It's just take it. Just listen, enjoy it. Take it for free while you can. I am planning on releasing something that will not be put up on Spotify. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to do that. But we might release one song on Apple Music, and then the rest you have to order. So we won't charge a lot, but you know, gotta pay for some of these expenses. Come on, huh?
Yeah. All right?
Would that be ordering through a service or like a physical, like physical media of some sort?
It could be probably from the website. Might be from the Kalindo.com website. We haven't figured that out yet. We have a plan, but we're in the planning stage of the plan.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
So what's your preferred physical media format then? Are you into CDs, vinyl, tapes, 8-tracks,
pocket rockers?
Pocket rockers. I'm going to go with LPs, even though I don't have a turntable. But just as a kid growing up, buying those records, that was just the most fun. But CDs is my second favorite. Tapes, I'm going to say no. Not a tapes.
Not a cassette guy.
I mean, they sound great, but the fast forwarding and the rewinding and the tape just stretches out. And then, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather have tapes and records than have neither. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I miss making. I was saying this the other day. CDs are good for mixtapes, but I miss like making a tape mixtape.
Well, then the person knows you put the time into it.
Yeah, that's such an art. Like
you sat there with that tape.
I remember I had to take. I was fucking poor kid tape making. I had two stereos, speaker to speaker, and I would play and record at the same time, and even put my own little blurbs in. With a
talk
I'm like introducing
good idea, Jason,
but like not as talented.
Dang, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and I would make these crazy mixtapes. I remember one time I made one for my cousin because we used to live about an hour and 15 minutes away. So whenever we would travel, we would be in the car and we would want to listen to stuff. And he always used to make me we would always listen to shit that his dad liked because his dad and my dad, we are musical influences. It's like George Clinton, early Michael Jackson. My dad was like David Bowie, Deep Purple, all that stuff. And it was like, and I was like, we should do a theme song one. And I remember I took my Talk Boy and for a week I watched television shows and timed it so I could record the theme song. So I had a tape of every theme song from like the early 90s, cartoons, sitcoms, regular stuff, and I gave it to him, and he was like, "This is awesome." And then I started recording full episodes of cartoons and memorizing the words, so when they came on, I can still recite episodes of Ren and Stimpy that I recorded on the Talkboy that I would listen to in the car and in my head play it back on the like on the screen. And it was like it taught me so much how to like visualize stuff. And you just don't get that when you download stuff because it's just so easy. It's like, oh, I want this. Boom, here it is.
Done, right.
The search is just not there. And I'm like, you know, the Fire Dogs episode of Ren and Stimpy, like I have it in my head to this day. I can like recite scenes that are my favorite scenes in cartoons anyway, but like because of that, because of Talk Boy.
You know what? You win that argument. I'm with you on that. Oh, that sounds like so much fun. I want to do that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I tell people all the time. Like I remember when VHS tapes, because you know this is going back, but I remember when VHS tapes first converted to DVD. One of the things I used to love to do was look for obscure movies that I watched when I was a kid and find them on DVD. And at first, you couldn't find everything. So I remember ordering from Canada off of eBay The Wizard, the movie with Fred Savage about Nintendo. You couldn't get a copy because they didn't release it on DVD until like 6 years later in America. I had a bootleg copy from Canada of The Fucking Wizard because I just love that movie so much.
Oh my gosh.
And My Pet Monster. I had to find My Pet Monster the same way. And it was like finding all that stuff, like the hunt for that sort of stuff. That's what I think, why I agree with you. That's why I think vinyl is so cool is because once you're on vinyl, you're there. That's it. Like, that's the thing. And if you can't find that vinyl, like sometimes people have very limited release vinyl and it's like, holy shit, check this awesome cover out that this guy made of vinyl. You know what I mean? Like, and
yes,
nowhere. And it's just so cool. You would never find it if you digitally downloaded it.
Not at all. You're so right. You get the smell, the everything. It's all the senses. You're smelling it. Yeah. You're holding onto it. You're reading it. You're then listening to it. And turntables and records have that sound quality that you just can't recreate with digital. It's just like it's analog, basically.
Yeah. Really. I really do think it's like it's very sad that this is exactly like this is where we're headed. Is that we're giving up all the creativity. Of the technology, and it's like, yes, the technology is cool, and I'm an absolute tech head when it comes to playing around with technology, but like,
yeah,
I also am very much like, I want it to be like it was. Like, I miss the old days. Like, I miss waking up on Saturday morning and looking for cartoons, waiting all week to see what cartoon came out.
Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner Hour, come on now.
I remember fucking watching cartoons, being so excited. I used when I first started working, I would cut grass with my dad. I would tape VHS tape Spider-Man on Fox, and then we would come home. We would get a McDonald's All American meal, which is a hamburger, a fucking small fry, and a Coke. And we would sit after we cut grass all morning and made money and watch Spider-Man. And then WWF came on right afterwards. Superstars, baby, let's go. And it was like, that time was such a, and then it would be like those shitty weird shows like Renegade, and a lot of times they played Hercules, the Legendary Jerseys, which I love, but it's like such a campy crap show for anyone else. It's just like, oh, that's such a fake Hydra, but who cares? It's fucking Hercules. It's Kevin Sorbo, man. But I miss that time of being able to just like, you know, to appreciate that moment. And I think that's what is missing. I think that's why there's a lot of mental health shit, because you don't get to live in the moment, because everything moves so fast. There's no time for the moment.
Like all that.
You can't listen to like, you listen to any Bowie album. The whole album is the experience, right? Since we're talking about Bowie, same with Prince, any Prince records, it's just an experience.
Right.
Right now, like if you were to type in David Bowie, it would bring his top six songs that you've heard a million times. It's like you would never know the deep cuts that are his best shit. It's like same with Bowie. It's like I just watched that Moon Age Daydream movie, and it's so fascinating that he just gave everything up and was like, "Fuck it, I need to find myself." And he's like, "It's like you're David Bowie, dude. You don't need to find anything. You're right there, man." And he's like, "God, you don't get it." And then he came back and they're like, is he going to be as good? And he was like, fuck you guys. I am as good, because now I know who I am. And I'm like, you just don't get that anymore. Sorry. That was a really long rant. I apologize.
That was good. No, that was very educational and insightful. Opened up my mind to more ideas.
Well, you should definitely do covers of old 90s theme songs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I think you should do the Full House theme. 100%.
There's some good songs out there.
Funk it up
a Full House. You know what? I'll write that down. That's a thought. That's a consideration. I'll talk to my people.
I mean, the
get a
the,
shirt. I'll buy a shirt that says "Kalindo fucking up Full House." Fucking do it, man.
Come on now. I'll write this down.
I mean, the '90s fashion is coming back. Strike while the iron's hot. You know.
Definitely get a shirt of you. Your face superimposed on every member of the Full House family.
Oh, my God.
Gosh.
They have that family where the picture where they're all standing there. You on little Michelle.
Oh.
Your twins, Becky and Jesse's twins. I think that would be fucking great. That's such a great shirt idea.
It might not be a bad idea. I don't know. I don't see myself that often. That many times. That might drive me crazy, but let's see.
Well, speaking of t-shirts, you know, obviously the people listening to this, they can't see what you're wearing right now, but you have a gorgeous Kalindo t-shirt on right now.
Thank you very much.
What kind of merchandise? I'm somebody, you know, you mentioned, you know, supporting artists and, you know, how streaming, you know, doesn't exactly do that financially, at least.
Right.
What kind of stuff can people do if they do want to support you? What do you offer as far as merchandise? Because obviously they want to support the artist and also show other people that they have superior music taste to them.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking. Well, for one, come to shows, you know, take your time to buy some tickets, take your family out to shows. Going to concerts was something that did more for me than listening to the music on the radio, believe it or not. I mean, as much as the radio is great, because you get to hear stuff from all over the world and through different time periods and stuff. When I went to my first Kiss concert or James Brown or Cheap Trick, Rush, Queen. I saw Queen when I was a little kid. The fact that I got to see Bowie, I saw Rush a lot. And, I saw Bowie twice over a span of like 12 or 14 years or so. So I got to see him towards the end when he was incredible, and I saw him when he was a lot younger. Going to shows is so crucial. It's a great experience. So yes, buying tickets and then buying merch. You know, we're making a lot more shirts and a lot more merch that's not just my face and stuff. My original merch was just my face with the name, and that got a little annoying. Even I was like, you know what, nah. It's a, you know, the brand is the name, and so, you know, I've got a lot of Def Leppard shirts thanks to my visit with Phil Collin a couple of weeks ago at his place, and he was so generous. He was like, hey, you know, here, you want some merch? I was like, oh, what? You know, and so I'm so thankful. He gave me some picks because I was about to go to Guitar Center to buy picks. And he was like, oh, no. You know, he and his wife were like, come on, take these. So I'm all good for the summer with picks. But the Def Leppard shirts are the logo Def Leppard and a lion or a tiger or a leopard or whatever. It's not like their faces, you know. And you know, even though they're handsome men, you know, the ego I want to reverse the ego thing and just be more about the music and about the name versus then, like, you know, been like, ooh, is my pose pretty enough or handsome enough? Am I muscular enough? You know? So yeah, support by buying merch. Go on to Kalindo.com. You can go ahead and buy tickets that way. I don't have any shows right now, but I am playing with Janelle Monáe. So buy Janelle Monáe tickets and come out and see me performing with her. And that'll be great for her as well.
Did you do? Are you like working on? Is that the logo that you're sticking with, or are you working on a logo?
We're constantly working on. Yeah, I'm constantly working on new logos. This is taken from a jump that I did in Lollapalooza Festival a couple years ago, and D Todd took the picture. Great photographer, and then. And then my friend Jesse, who's a great designer, did the logo for me, and he also did my website too. Jesse Hayes Designs.
The website's super well done. I was just kind of scrolling through it real quick, but like, I mean, the logo is simple and awesome. The rock jump, it's classic and sick. Like, it's super rad. It's super well done.
Thank you.
What if, you could probably just because of the way your name like translates, you could probably do like an old school Nintendo font. Looking at it, I'm like, that would really translate well into like an old school NES.
Oh yeah,
ooh, that's brilliant! Brilliant ideas. Oh my gosh, I wrote it down. Yeah, guys, we should do this more often. Huh?
Well, I mean, now, so. Not to give you. Oh, that reminds me. I almost forgot.
I was going to say, how did you? I was about to jump in and say, how did you not do?
So we do this, and I've been getting flack from a couple of people. So I'm gonna make a short version of it. I don't know if you heard by having listened to a couple episodes. You said a little
yes.
bit. We're not fans of Jared Leto.
Oh,
how do you feel about Jared Leto?
Ooh. Okay. My honest feeling on Jared Leto is I do like his voice. I think he's got a great rock voice. Sorry if I spoke.
You're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah. There's one song in particular. I don't remember the name of it, but I was playing Ace Combat, on my Sony PlayStation years ago. And I was like, it's such a great game. And I'm huge into, that's a thing. I love piloting planes. Go figure. The song came on. I was just like, what the fuck? What is this? I think I didn't Shazam it because I don't think Shazam was a thing back then. But I researched it last year. Literally last year I researched it and found the song. I don't remember the name, but damn, it was good. I wish I could remember it right now. But anyway, I was just like, that guy, that's a great, great band. They sound great. Fast forward to this year. Or late last year, I saw a movie that my sister recommended. Actually, it wasn't a movie. It was a series on Netflix. The series about the WeWork. Have you seen that? The WeWork?
No.
Okay. I only saw the first episode. I thought it was a movie. So I was after it was over, I was like, damn, that was amazing. She said, that's just a TV series. I was like, what? That's his first episode. So from that, I like him as an artist. I like him as an actor and as a singer. I don't know anything about him personally. Okay. You know, so what? Tell me some gossip. What's going on? What's the deal?
All right. So the short version is that, I mean, and you can go back and you can listen to the long one, but it's basically me and him almost got into a fight at a show. And, he never apologized, and I've called him out numerous times on the show. I've had guests call him out. I tell everyone that has any connection to anything he might be in, we want him on the show to squash this beef. And if he comes on and apologizes, and I say this all the time, I'll gladly accept, like I'll settle it. But he doesn't even return the emails to his management, to him.
Wow.
He's my mortal enemy, so I challenge him to anything. And we're working on a group called Friends Against Leto. So anyone can join. It's an open invitation. You don't have to, but if your opinion of him changes after maybe you watch Morbius or one of the other thousand shit movies that he did in his youth, feel free to just jump on. You, like, even if you just came on, like, called us in and been like, guys, I just watched like six Leto movies on the road. You were right, man. He's a tool. I'm in the group. Like, I'm in. Just put me. Give me a card. Give me a membership card.
Okay. First, I know that the answer to this is not yes. But you're not making this up. You really had a fight with Leto.
Oh no, 100%. Yeah, he was walking through the crowd. They were opening for Seven Dust. He was walking through the crowd, and he jostled me, and I turned around and said something to him because I really didn't know who he was. And then somebody told me who he was, and
this would have been early in 30 Seconds to Mars' career.
Yeah, yeah.
They were in.
That's Seattle. Seattle, I think. But yeah, sorry. Yeah.
You know, it's okay. He's still doing. He still had done My So-Called Life, and I think he had already done Requiem for a Dream. I think that was already done. Wow. So he was still like smoking his own dope, and he was definitely. But it escalated to the point where he almost came off stage, and me and him almost got into a fracas. And I'm glad I didn't, because Seven Dust was so fucking amazing live.
They're great.
It's a great show.
Yeah,
LeJean was just amazing. But definitely. So he just, that was what it was. Is basically he's the long version is the first episode of the show. We talk about concert stories. So yeah. If you want to do the full long version, that's that. But it's like I want to recruit an army, because you don't make a change unless you have an army. You know, you need people behind you to make a change. And I'm tired of him ruining things in the world.
Amazing.
So, you know, you gotta take a stand, you gotta start somewhere. It's a grassroots campaign against Leto. You know, wow. I'm gonna do a train tour where I stop in small towns. And I do bandbox speeches about how much he's a dick bag, and
unless
he comes on and settles it. Because if he comes on, this whole thing ends. It's over. Because I'm totally serious. Like, if he were to come on and say, you know what, dude, I don't remember this, and I'm sorry, I'll be fine.
Here's the thing. I want him to remember it.
Yeah. No.
I want him to come on and be like, finally,
you motherfucker. Yeah.
Joe. This has weighed on me this whole time.
Okay, I have a question for you.
What's up?
I have a hypothetical possibility, or maybe not even hypothetical. Are you sure that he wasn't tripping on something when he walked into you? Like, what if he doesn't remember doing that?
He had security around him as he was walking through the crowd.
Okay.
So he was kind of just shoving people out of the way.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't react the way he thought I would, which is just move along and be like, I was like, you could say, excuse me, motherfucker.
Right.
And you know, because that's the Philly hippie.
He's one of those guys. I get it. He's one of those guys. He thinks he's bigger and bigger, heavier and better than everybody else. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I said. Like, I he can come on. I'll challenge him to Donkey Kong.
And what I got it. So I'm also not a Jared Leto fan. There's no personal thing between Jared Leto and I, but I respect where Jimmy's coming from, though. I have a good friend who also has a mortal musician enemy, but it's because he chose them at random. He felt like he needed to have a mortal enemy. So he randomly chose a band and carries this to this day. He went to one of their shows to boo them,
flew across the country
to go to a show and boo them. And he actually, now that he's heard, he had never even heard their music. Now that he's heard some of their music, acknowledges that they're good.
Oh, God.
He's already committed to them. He's committed to being their enemy.
I couldn't do that.
So, yeah, I ask everybody. So I had to ask you.
I've heard some things from some people that had their opinions, but I'm just talking from my opinion.
Yeah.
Episode of that show, singing on that song.
Check out the first episode. You'll hear the full
story. Oh, I so will.
You'll hear the whole story, and then because I actually have a buddy who has another story about Leto that I would like to bring on, but I haven't been able to get in touch with him for a little bit, so I'm trying to get him on because he has a similar story from like the same tour. So it'd be nice to get another perspective of it, but that's for another time. The second thing that I want to tell you is now you are officially a brutal dude. So that
brutal dude.
What that comes with it, you come on. can come on anytime you want, promote anything you want. All you gotta do is reach out to us, dude. You're more than welcome on here anytime you want to come on. Even if you just want to come on and shoot the shit and are like, hey guys, I'm just checking in, see what's going on, like what's happening in your lives. We're totally cool with that.
Thank you.
You know, and we'll keep you posted with our stuff as we move along. You know, our 1 year anniversary is coming up soon.
Oh, that's come on, let's have a party.
I think we're actually going to do
our vow renewal.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
I think we're looking into some things, but one of the things we were talking about was maybe getting a party deck at a minor league ball game.
Oh, come on now.
Like in Lakewood, and then just it's like buffet style, and it's just you get a bunch of people, you go to the game, and then we'll celebrate. So
I'm all for that. I'm totally all for that.
We'll keep you posted.
Please do. Please do. Oh, my gosh. Well, we are playing the Met in Philadelphia on September 18th.
Oh, nice.
That's rad.
Yeah.
It's a great venue. Pete, that's where we saw Weird Al, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It was the second. So he did a second tour, and it was all of his like B sides, and I wasn't expecting B sides, but it was a lovely surprise.
Oh, I love it.
The Met's a great venue.
They did Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, the actual version.
Oh shit!
They're just so good musically, and I was like, God damn! I said to Pete, I was like, this is fucking. They're great. He goes, yeah, dude. They've been playing together for like. For 30 fucking years.
Oh,
like,
that's
yeah.
the band. Really okay.
I'm like, damn. But yeah,
I'd love to see him.
The Met's a cool show. I saw, who else did I see there? I think I saw Steely Dan there too.
Oh, that's cool.
Love Steely. I went with my dad. That was weird. It was all these like really old white guys, and they were like doing like the white guy like play the guitar. It's like air guitar, but not air guitar. It's like just strum chords. You think you're the right chords. And my dad actually plays guitar. So my dad, like, literally, like, you could put a guitar in while he's playing and it would pick up a song. Because he's playing the actual chords. These other dudes are just like just wobbling back and forth. They look like those the wacky wobbler guys they put outside a car dealership. But like they were also moving their hands like a car. It was great.
Fun. That's what I'm talking about when I go to a concert.
Yeah.
Was there any smoke and fire and brimstone or anything like that? Like
no, that was who did I see where that was? That was Static X, I think.
Ooh.
A little bit of that. Slipknot had a fireball dragon.
Woo! That was great.
That was great.
Are those
breathing metal dragon? I think.
Are those Met show tickets up for sale yet, or no?
No, this tour has not been announced yet. So you guys are the first to know.
Yeah,
love to hear it.
As you can only hear on Brutal Dudes.
Exactly. Come on now, Brutal Dudes.
I will absolutely be looking for tickets to that show. I will try to make a Brutal Dudes banner and wave it around and see if
Pete,
I can get there.
Paint your face, dude.
Paint
your face. We'll give you Ultimate Warrior makeup.
And I'll wear the elbow like ribbons.
Oh yeah, the elbow tassels.
Yeah,
dude.
I
love your enthusiasm. Right
they now. Have those on Amazon. I know because I just ordered Ultimate Warrior sunglasses.
That's
amazing.
That's great.
Amazing Amazon.
I didn't know they even existed. That's
great. They have them. Yeah, it's an official. It's official too. It's not like a. Yeah.
That's wild.
Wild and crazy. Yeah. Man.
All right. So before we let you go, then, is there anything else you wanted to let people know about?
Yeah, I want everybody to to repeat myself. You got to tune into YouTube, the Kalindo YouTube channel. Please watch Sugar. The Sugar music video by Dead Lotus Couture and Mark Maxwell and myself. Kyle Jefferson also contributed in the songwriting with me. And, we want to get those views up to about 2 million. So we got about 2 million to go to get to that. So come on and tune on in. Please, let's watch it.
We helped. We're also helping our friend Andy Fiore get enough views on his stand-up. He did a stand-up on YouTube, so
cool. Message me.
We got some people, we directed some traffic, so we'll see what we can do.
Thank you guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, everybody go to the Sugar video, make sure you comment Brutal Dudes. Yes. Let them know you're watching this because you heard it here.
Yeah, we need our own shine too.
Come on now. Absolutely.
Fans, this is a shout out to fans. You guys gotta, we need to let them know that we got their back. If you don't shout out Brutal Dudes, they're not going to know. They're going to think of some person just popping on.
Right.
You know, you're looking at the nudie videos, and then all of a sudden you just go to YouTube. Make sure you put Brutal Dudes after your nudie video so that then you can go onto the YouTube videos and watch all the cool shit.
There's multiple tabs.
Yeah.
You don't have to close.
Close your ex hamster.
That was so specific.
Yeah.
Extremely specific.
All right, well,
totally.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Great chat. Appreciate it.
Thank you all. Great chatting with you guys too. Let's go. Let's go Philly. Let's go Mets. Let's go Giants. Let's go Giants. Yeah, I'll be working on Philly.